3,000 feet. From Glacier Point to the valley floor. In fact, many came to Yosemite just to experience what was known as the Fire Falls. From 1872 to 1969, for almost 100 years, every summer, at exactly 9 p.m., a man would stand at Camp Curry below, shout to the man at Glacier Point above, "Let the fire fall!" At that instant, the man tending the fire at Glacier Point would begin pushing the burning coals and fire over the cliff. It was a spectacular display of falling, descending fire, over 3,000 feet of brilliant, flowing, glowing fire cascading down the sheer wall of Glacier Point. In a TV documentary interview, one of the old timers that called the fire down emotionally said, "We always thought it was like a spiritual thing, like a church experience," with his voice breaking. He said, "People were deeply touched. Each night when the event ended, there would be deep silence or almost reverence." He said, "People would be weeping everywhere. Then after a minute or so, hesitantly, someone would break the silence with a weak applause. The applause would then escalate into a roar. It was an awesome event, a momentous occasion. Everyone was blessed, the rich and famous, as well as the more common folks. All races and colors of people from all over the world would come to the place known as the place where the fire falls." At 9 p.m., Thursday evening, January 25th, 1968, the fire fell for the last time. Now, to thousands of people around the world, Yosemite National Park is known as the place where the fire used to fall. Today, when you ask them in Yosemite about the fire falls, the sad reply is, "The fire doesn't fall here anymore." I read that, and I tell you what, it struck a note and it struck a chord with me. Because I know that's a natural illustration, but I'm concerned that in a majority of our churches today, the fire doesn't fall anymore. We don't shout. We don't dance anymore. We don't speak in tongues. We don't prophesy. We don't fast. We don't pray like we used to pray. We don't believe in deliverance anymore, casting out devils. We don't agonize and travail over lost souls anymore. And the sad truth is, listen to this, the sad truth is, while the church world majority is quenching the fire to be seeker friendly, there is a lost world that's dying and going to hell, and they're not looking for a beautiful building with padded pews and central heat and air with stained glass windows. All they want to know is, does the fire still fall? Where does the fire fall? Is there any place where the fire still falls? Jesus said, John said rather, "He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Yes. Hebrews 12 and 29 tells us our God is a consuming fire. His word tells us he makes his angels ministering spirits and his ministers flames of fire. God is fire. He doesn't just have fire, he is fire. Wherever the aspects, the attributes of God are, wherever you look at God, you see fire. He's all-consuming fire. He's all-consuming love. He's all-consuming mercy. He's all-consuming compassion. He's all-consuming holiness and justice. Our God is fire. He's like the sun, a ball of fire. He doesn't have fire. He is fire. He isn't on fire. He is fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Amen. And if we're truly born of God, if we truly proceed from God, if He truly is the source of our lives, then my friend, I'm going to tell you, we're going to manifest some fire.
Yes.
He makes His angels ministering spirits and His ministers flames of fire. The Bible says Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That doesn't mean that we're baptized with the Holy Ghost and topped off with some fire sprinkles. That means it is a fire baptism. Just like John was baptizing them in water, John told them, there's one coming after me. He's mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and turn and undo his shoelaces. When he has come, he will baptize you like I'm baptizing you in water. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Yes, that's right.
Where does the fire fall? God wants to consume us with his fire. The truth is, my friend, the only people that make a difference in this world are people who are on fire. People who are burning with passion, who burn with desire, who burn with vision, who burn with purpose. We look around us in this world, we see people on fire. There are people who burn with lust for power. There are people who are burning up with greed. There are people who are burning up with a passion to save the whales and the spotted owl. And whether we agree with them or not, we cannot deny and cannot ignore their fire and their passion. But what about the church, my friend? What about the church? Where's the passion in the church? Where's the fire in the church? Where's the unction in the church? Where's the anointing in the church? Where's the drive in the church? Where's the glory in the church? Where's the power? Where's the fire? Where does the fire fall? We look at the world, we can see, no doubt, they've got passion, they got fire, they're burning with fire. You see these children, and I sympathize with their loss in Florida. Such a tragedy. But you see these children now, they're on fire. They've come out, man, they're on fire. They're ready to storm the White House. They're ready to storm the Capitol. They're ready to storm anything and everything to get something done. Whether you like it, whether you agree with it or not, look at, you got to understand, people are on fire. There's some fire there. There's some passion there. And then we look at the church and we have to ask the question, where's the fire? Where's the passion in the church? Where are the hearts that are burning with holy fire? Where are the preachers that burn with holiness, that will call sin, sin, and righteousness, righteousness, that don't hide behind a cloak of political correctness, that will stand up today and preach God's word without compromise, without fear, and without favor, and won't make excuses for a lifestyle of sin, of corruption, of homosexuality, of lesbianism, of fornication, adultery, of gambling, of cheating, of lying and stealing, of men and women of God? Where are the preachers that are on fire with the Holy Ghost and power that will stand up and tell people how to get right with God?
Right, man.
Friend, we don't need people to pat us on the back and tell us we're okay when we got sin in our lives. We need somebody that loves us enough to tell us the truth. We need somebody that burns with the fire of God and a passion of God in their lives and the anointing of God upon their lives, that will boldly stand and tell us Jesus loves you, but he hates the sin you're in.
That's right, man.
We got preachers today, man, they haven't got enough fire to start a candle. Don't want to make nobody mad. Don't want to disappoint nobody. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Pat everybody on the back. Tell everybody they're okay. I love you. Jesus loves you. You're okay. The church loves you. Bring yourself in. Bring all your sin. Bring all your corruption. However you want to live, that's all fine. We're all going to heaven anyway. A nice little rowboat. You don't have to confess your sin. You don't have to ask forgiveness. You don't have to repent, my friend. You do.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
We have to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that means every one of us. That's not somebody that just comes to the Lord the first time. That's something that we got to understand. Repentance is a way of life. This is not a one-time shot will do you. Since I've got saved, I've had to repent a lot of times. Since I gave my life to God, I haven't lived a perfect life. And I've had to repent, and I've had to ask God to forgive me. And I thank God for pastors and preachers and teachers and ministers that love me enough to stand behind a pulpit and tell me the truth and preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit until the conviction of the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and made me know that I needed Jesus in my life, and I needed Him to change me because I couldn't change myself. Amen. If you can change yourself and you can fix yourself, you don't need God.
But the truth is, none of us can fix ourselves. Without God, we're lost. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. No man can come to the Father except by me. The fire of God, it's not just an energizer. It's not just a motivator. It's not just something that excites us. It's not just enthusiasm. The fire of God, if the true fire of God falls in the house of God, if the true fire of God falls on your life as an individual, if the true fire of God falls on your life, he is a purifier, He is a cleanser, and He is a sanctifier, and the fire of God will burn sin out of your life. And the fire of God will purify your thoughts. It will purify your words. It will purify your actions. And it will drive the devil out of his hiding places.
I always get amazed. Young converts, when they just get saved, they want to serve God, man. They want to do it right. They want to get their life clean. I love the passion of young converts. New converts, they say, man, tell me what to do. Tell me how to live right. Tell me how to live holy. Tell me how to separate myself. You know, I've gotten, over the years, I've gotten sick of these people that somebody would come out of the secular world and God would save them out of the secular world and they were movie stars or they were singers and they played instruments in the world and God would save them, bring them out of the secular world, and then the church, the pastor, the leaders wouldn't love them enough to tell them that they needed to separate themselves and live a different kind of life. But young converts want to know. They want to know, show me how to live right. Show me how to honor God. Show me how to please God. But you know why? We go along a little ways and we serve God a little while and we get lazy and we get sloppy. And before long, we're letting stuff back in our lives that even as a young convert, young converts know they're wrong. Young converts know that it's not necessary. Young converts know that it's not good for them. Young converts know that it will pull them back into the world that they came out of. But you know, we go along a little ways and we think we can serve God and we can still do our thing. We can serve God. We can still watch this questionable stuff. We can serve God. We can still listen to this stuff. We can serve God. We can still act this way and talk this way. We can serve God. We can still drink. We can serve God. Still smoke a joint every now and then. We can serve God. And we mix this stuff all up. But when the fire of God falls, I'm telling you, when the fire of God comes, it will purify your life. It will sanctify your life. It will cleanse your life. And God, we need it. We need the fire of God in our churches like never before.
That's right. Amen.
Because our churches have gotten sloppy. They've fallen into what I call sloppy agape. Agape is love. That's a word, a Greek word for love. And we've got what in the church today I call a sloppy agape. That you can just love God and serve Him any way you want. No, God is holy.
Yes, yes.
God is holy. When the fire of God falls, it will drive the devil out of his hiding places. In the book of Acts, when Paul was gathering sticks for the fire, there was a deadly viper hiding in the sticks. But the viper never stirred until Paul laid the sticks on the fire.
Yeah.
Woo! That viper was
perfectly content in the sticks, even to be carried in the sticks. Even while Paul was carrying you, he was in the sticks, in Paul's arms, but he was perfectly content to be in the place where there was no fire. But as soon as Paul got him over there and got him close to the fire and laid the sticks on the fire, the Bible said that viper came out of the sticks. He came out of the fire. He came out of the heat, because the heat, the fire, drove him out of his hiding place. And he came out and he bit Paul on the hand. The Bible said he fastened himself to Paul's hand because he was trying to kill him. Because I'm trying to tell you something today, because the devil hates the fire. The devil don't mind dead, cold churches, but he hates the fire. He doesn't mind a church that's just going through the motions, that's religious and ceremonial. He doesn't mind that, but my friend, he hates the fire, because when the fire of God shows up, it exposes him for what he is.
Yes, amen. That's right.
The devil has never been good. He'll never be good. He's not nice. He's not your friend. Nope. You can't make deals with him and come out on top. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly.
Amen. That's right.
Problem our churches today, we got so many limp-wristed preachers. They won't even preach a gospel anymore that convicts anybody.
That's true.
I will tell you, a lot of times before I ever get to this pulpit and before I ever preach what I have here, it's already convicted me before it's convicted you. Why did the viper attack Paul's hand? Because his hand represents ministry. The sticks represent humanity. Paul's ministry was about helping people. And the devil hates for people to be brought into contact with the fire of God.
Yes.
When the fire of God falls, the devil will get uncomfortable.
Yep.
When the fire of God falls, the devil will manifest himself.
Yep.
Why? Because he hates the fire of God. Because the fire of God is the only thing that can heal. It's the only thing that can deliver. It's the only thing that can destroy oppression. It's the only thing that can break the spirit of suicide. It's the only thing that can burn up cancer. It's the only thing that can deliver the homosexual and the lesbian. It's the only thing that can burn drugs out of your system. It's the only thing that can burn up addictions and pornography in your life. It takes the fire of God. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not good programs. It's not good singing. It's not good music. And I love all of that. And it's not even good preaching. My friend, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's not about how good you preach. It's not about how great an orator you are, how good you can say it. It's about the anointing. It's about the power of the Holy Ghost that destroys the bondage.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
I heard some wonderful preachers that bored me to tears. But they were great preachers. I mean, but they had no fire, no life, no unction, no power. And then I've heard some people preach, or I can remember in my mind, I recall very well, a man that got up to preach one night. And when he got up and he started preaching, he didn't have it all together like a lot of preachers. And he wasn't a really great communicator, but he was anointed. And there was no doubt that he was anointed. And he came down after that platform, and he had his foot must have been 17. Big old, I mean, a big shoes. I remember looking at him. He's just a farm boy. He'd come down off of that platform, and he started preaching. And when he started preaching, he started stomping. He's stomping, man. And while he's preaching, he's stomping. And you know, I'm sitting back there, and I'm thinking, he's not that great a preacher. But man, I could feel the anointing. And every time that foot would go down, it was like, boom, it's like lightning would hit you. Boom, boom, just boom, boom, boom. And he wasn't saying, he wasn't that great a preacher, like I say. But what he did have was, he had the anointing, and it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Yeah. It's not the great teaching, the great preaching, the great singing. I've heard people sing that were so talented and so skilled and so beautiful to your ears, but there was nothing to move your soul. There's nothing to move your heart. There was nothing to get a hold of your heartstrings. And then someone else would get up and sing, and they weren't near as good. They didn't have near the skill or the ability, their talent, but they were anointed. There was a touch of God on their life. And when they began to sing, it got a hold of your heart, and you knew they had a relationship with God.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God. We need the fire. We need the fire. It's not about great preaching. It's not about great teaching. I want to be a good preacher. Don't get me wrong. I want to be a good preacher. I want to be a good communicator. I want to be a good singer. I want to do what I do well. But no matter how good you do it, no matter how talented, how skilled you are, if you don't have the touch of heaven on your life, it's just a ceremony. It's just a routine. It's just dead. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I want to tell you something. This seeker sensitive stuff that came through the church years ago tried to make the church into a comfortable place for sinners. Don't offend nobody. Don't hurt nobody. Don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Don't call each other brothers and sisters. It has not helped the church. It has hurt the church. Because what it's done is it's driven people away from the real power of God. Because I want to tell you what, people need to hear the power of God. People need to see the power of God. People need to hear about the Holy Spirit. People need to hear that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. People need to hear the truth. My friend, you've got to tell the truth. You've got to tell the truth. I want this church to be full. I want to see this church filled up. I want to see it packed out. But I'm not going to dilute the Word of God. I'm not going to dumb it down. And I'm not going to give up my anointing. I'm not going to water down what God has put on my life to make people happy and make them comfortable. I'm going to preach them the truth because I want to preach them out of hell and preach them into heaven because God loves you tonight and it's not His will that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. But you've got to hear the truth and you've got to hear it in the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's right, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right, thank you.
Billy Graham. Billy Graham is in heaven tonight.
Yes.
Rejoicing around the throne of grace. Looking in the face of the one who he has preached about for so many years and lifted up that name to the world and multitudes of people. Multitudes of people are in the kingdom and are in heaven tonight. Because of that man's witness. But that man never did water down that gospel. That man never did water down that gospel. He preached it in its purity. He preached it in its simplicity. And he preached it in its power. And people gave their lives to Jesus. And they still will. When we tell them the truth in love. Where does the fire fall? When the fire falls, the devil gets uncomfortable. He hates the fire. Another reason he hates the fire of God is because the fire of God is the only thing that can wake up the slumbering church. Don't think for a minute, church ain't asleep. Church world is asleep. Multitudes in the church are asleep. The dream that God gave to my wife, Pam, not so long ago, it just keeps on returning to our minds. Keeps on returning. Because in that dream, she saw people that were very busy.
heads down, very busy, working out in the field. But the enemy came rushing in, overwhelmed them, and destroyed them all, killed them all. On their way to the children. They wanted to get to the children, but they had to get the workers out of the way. And the workers of the church, and they killed them all. How could they kill them all? The only way they could kill them all was because they weren't awake. They weren't spiritually awake to the time that they're in. My friend, we're in perilous times. Don't think that it's going to get better. It's not going to get better. I wish I could tell you today that Florida is going to be the last time that there's ever going to be a school shooting. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not. I wish it was, but it's not. You know why? Because the school system and the government has pushed God out of the school.
That's right.
When you push God out of the school, the only thing left is for evil to come in. And instead of the people turning and crying out to God in the middle of their pain and saying, God, we need you in our nation. We need you in our schools. Instead, they turn against guns and they turn against this and they turn against that and they turn against this. And none of that can fix it. Because the problem is not the guns, and the problem is not the lack of guns, the problem is not the presence of guns, the problem is the presence of evil, and the presence of evil is present because God is absent. That can teach anything they want in school, but don't teach about God. Don't teach about Jesus. Don't teach about Christianity.
Yep.
And then they wonder, why, God? Why does the enemy come rushing in? How can he get in like that? How can he get in? Because there is no presence of God. If there's no presence of God, if there's no anointing, if there's no fire of God, then there's a vacuum, and the devil rushes to fill the vacuum.
Right.
And it's true in the church as well. If we don't have the presence of God, if we don't have the fire of God, if we don't have the power of God in our churches, then we're going to have an absence of God, and we're going to have a presence of evil. Come on, lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands. Come on. We don't want evil. We don't want evil, Lord. We want your presence. We want your power. We want your anointing. We want your glory. Oh, God. I'm telling you, when the fire comes, there'll be a hunger for God that will come back. When the fire comes, there'll be a passion for God. When the fire comes, there'll be a hunger for souls. We'll cry out again. We'll travail again. Oh, my God, I've been so blessed to hear in the last few weeks and months some travail happening in this house, because it's a sign that something's happening. It's a sign that hearts are being set on fire. It's a sign that the Spirit of God is moving upon our hearts and moving upon our lives. Oh God, send the fire and send travail and send a burden back on the church again.
Oh
God. How long has it been since you've been in a church and heard a church in travail? How long has it been? How many churches have you been in? How many places have you been and you have not heard travail? And I'm not talking about for a week or for a month. I'm talking about for years and years and years. There's been no travail. There's been no brokenness. There's been no burden for the lost. There's something wrong when we lose our burden for the lost. There's something wrong. What needs to happen? We need a fresh fire. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because when Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and fire, there will be a passion and there will be a burden and there will be a desire to see souls saved. And we won't be able to sit back anymore and just watch people coast into hell.
Yes.
Without warning them.
Right.
Some years ago, I preached a message similar to this in a mission conference. And a mission conference about souls. Mission conference. And I preached similar to this, and you would have thought the people would have been shouting, rejoicing, praising God, thanking God for the truth, thanking God for His Word, reminding them of their calling and their mission and their anointing. But you know what? It was like you could hear a pin drop.
Oh, my goodness.
You could hear a pin drop. It was like I was saying something that was completely strange and foreign and weird and false doctrine. My friend, it's not strange. It's not foreign. It's not weird. It's just plain old gospel.
Amen.
My niece was on her way to ORU University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, from Salisaw to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Between Salisaw and Tulsa, Oklahoma, there's a bridge. It's a place called Weber Falls. There's a bridge. Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, my niece was headed over that bridge, 65, 70 miles an hour, and a highway patrolman ran her off the road. He ran her off the road because the bridge was gone. Because a tugboat had hit the bridge. Because the tugboat driver was drunk. He hit the bridge, and in front of my niece, 13 people died. But because that highway patrolman ran her off the road, saved her life. Are we upset? Are we mad that highway patrolman drove her off the road? Are we angry at that highway patrolman because he was so aggressive and because he forced her off the road? No, sir, we're not. But you know what? In the church, we get mad. If somebody tells us the truth,
yeah,
we get mad. Friend, I'm telling you the truth. The bridge is out. The bridge is out.
Yeah.
If you keep on going without Jesus,
yes, sir,
it's death. If you keep on going in your own way,
yeah,
it's eternal death and separation from God. There's no other way. That's all there is to it.
Right.
Are we going to get angry at the person who loves us enough to tell us the truth? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life,
yes,
through Jesus Christ our Lord? I don't think so. I'm thankful for somebody who told me the truth.
Yes.
Come on, I want you to lift your hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
All over this building. Stand with me. Stand with me in this house tonight. Here's the simple truth, friend. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone.
Yes.
Everyone. Nobody is perfect. Nobody. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there are people perishing every day because they don't choose Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment tonight? Heavenly Father, I love You. I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the anointing And I thank you for loving us enough to tell us the truth. Lord, you came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. You took our place on a cross. You let them beat you. You let them strip you naked. Put a spear in your side. Put a crown of thorns on your head. Drive spikes in your hands and your feet. Not because you did anything wrong. Not because you had sinned. But for me. For us. You took our sins upon your own self so we could receive your righteousness. You bore in your own body our sins so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask you tonight, I'm going to ask everyone tonight, if we could come around these altars tonight. Spend a little bit of time around these altars tonight. Talking to Jesus. Asking Jesus for the fire of God to come upon our lives again. For the fire of God to come to our schools. For the fire of God to come to our homes. For the fire of God to come to our churches. Come on, I want you to come. Come and join me around the front of this building tonight. Come and join me around the front of this building tonight. I want Jesus in my life. If you want Jesus in your life, this is the place. There's an open door right now. There's an invitation, a standing invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus is calling tonight. He's calling tonight. Church won't save you. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves us. He loves us so much. He loves us so much that he went to that cross. He not only went to the cross, he went into the pit of hell. And he fought with the devil and all the demons. And he took the keys of death and hell out of the hand of the enemy. And he rose triumphant.
Yes.
And he gave those keys to the church. And he said, now I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus, we love you tonight. Jesus, we honor you tonight. We want to serve you tonight, Lord. We want to experience your presence in our lives. We want the fire of God in our homes, in our families, in our churches, in our schools. He come up. God, touch your people tonight. Lord, send the fire of the Holy Ghost. Take care of us. It's your anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Lord, you draw us to yourself, Lord. It's not your will, Lord, that we perish. It's not your will, Lord, that we grow cold in our souls. It's not your will, Lord, that we just go through the motions and we just go through ceremonies and routines, Lord. God, set our souls on fire. Lord, turn the fire up. Turn the heat up, Lord. Yes. Baptize us afresh with the mighty Holy Ghost and power. Oh, la 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 la. Oh, Holy Spirit, move in our lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, move in your church. Oh, Holy Spirit, visit your church again. Oh, Holy Spirit, visit California again. God, send a mighty revival to the West Coast. God, deliver us, Lord, from a spirit of liberalism. Deliver us, Lord, from a spirit of political correctness, Lord. God, take us back to being biblical. Good, correct. Take us back to a right relationship with God. Take us back to the Word of God as the foundation for our lives. Oh God, send a mighty awakening to the state of California and to our nation, God. Hey, revive us again, oh God. Revive us again, oh God, in the midst of our years. Revive us again. Oh God, we've forgotten how to weep. We've forgotten how to travail, God. Lord, you said, let the priests weep between the porches and the altars. Oh, it's not your will, oh God. Lord, that people be perishing all around us, Lord. Lord, you said the fields are white under harvest, but the labors are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into the fields. We worship you tonight, Jesus. Worship you tonight, Jesus. We honor you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, breathe. Breathe on us tonight. Lord, we don't ever want it to be said about us like they said about Yosemite Falls. The fire doesn't fall here anymore. Let it never be said, Lord, about us that the fire doesn't fall here anymore. Let it never be said about us, Lord, that they don't have any fire anymore. Let it never be said about us, Lord, that we're just going through the motions now. We're just having rituals and ceremonies, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let it never be said about us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's come that we might have life. We might have it more abundantly. God loves us so much. He loves us so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy tonight and your grace. We love you so much, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
God, draw by your Spirit, Lord. Draw by your Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glorify your name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for that peace.
You know, I found out a long time ago, I can't make anybody do anything. I can't make anybody live right. I can't make anybody live holy. I can't make anybody pray. I can't make anybody seek after God. But I found out what my part is. My part is to love people enough to tell them the truth. To love them enough to tell them the truth. Thank you guys for coming. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. To love them enough to tell them the truth. Hallelujah. And I ain't mad at nobody but the devil. He wants to destroy people's lives. And I will say, I kind of take it back a little bit. I am a little bit mad. I'm a little bit mad at preachers that won't tell the truth anymore.
Yeah, true.
I'm a little bit mad at preachers that won't speak with any unction or any authority. No backbone. Yeah, I am. I love Jesus. People need to they know the truth. They need to know the truth, man. You've got to love people enough to tell them the truth in love.
Yes, yes. Amen.
I can't imagine what it's going to be like when multitudes of people stand before God. Pastors and leaders. And multitudes of people are turned aside. He says, depart from me, all of you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. And then he looks at those pastors and leaders and says, they're going there because of you.
That's right.
Because you didn't tell them the truth. You didn't love them enough to tell them the truth. Hallelujah. I feel the goodness of God tonight. I feel His presence in His house. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Yesterday, I went to get a haircut, and the young lady that cut my hair grew up in Wasco. So I got to talking about church and her growing up in church and growing up in Wasco and going to the church there, Pentecostal Church of God. And she's been over here for a while now, and I said, where do you go to church at now? Oh, I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been a good girl. I haven't been going to church. I said, well, you need to go to church. She said, well, I've been talking to my husband about going back to church. Pray, and she comes. I gave her my card. I said, come and see us. Come and see us. We need to pray for people. We need to pray for people. We need to pray that God will give us opportunity to witness to people who are lost. And we need to pray that when they come to us, that we love them enough to tell them the truth. And keep on praying for them. Because you don't know. That seed doesn't always produce the one it's planted. But it's an incorruptible seed. And it never goes away. Oh, let's all stand. Glory to God. Oh, God. Jesus. God's doing something. I feel it in the spirit. I want to say tonight, thank you to those who have been attending our prayer meetings on Thursday. The power of God has been present. Things are happening in the spirit. I think the enemy is kicking back with some of the sickness and some of these attacks on the bodies. I think some of it is the devil. He's not happy because we're starting to make progress in the spirit, and he's not happy about it. So, you know, he hit me, and he hit Pam, and he hit Brother Herman, Sister Wanda, and Sister Barbara, and so many different ones. It's just like the devil. But you know what? That's what he does. You know, don't expect to do anything for God. The devil not fight back. He wouldn't even be a good devil if he didn't fight back. God would have to fire him. Get a new devil. I want us to pray tonight that God will use us, that He'll make us soul winners. Lift up your voice with me all over this building, and I want us to pray tonight God will use us and make us soul winners. Father God, and make us soul winners. You said that the fields are white and the harvest, but the labors are few. It's not a shortage on the harvest, it's a shortage on labors. Lord, make us soul winners. You said, he that winneth souls is wise. Lord, make us soul winners, God. Give us a soul winner's fire, Lord. Give us a soul winner's burden, God. Give us a soul winner's compassion, Lord, to see souls saved, God, to see them rescued from the path of sin, to see them delivered from the hand of the enemy, to see them redeemed by the blood of Jesus, to see them brought back, to see them plucked out of the fires of hell, Lord, to see them make heaven their home. Oh, God. Oh, God, make us a soul-winning church. Oh, We're thankful, God, for every member. We're thankful for every person, Lord, that's a part of this body, Lord. But we want to see it grow with new birth. We want to see it grow and increase with new birth, Lord, with souls being born into the kingdom. Thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. How many want the fire of God in your life?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Amen, amen, amen. And you are dismissed. God bless you tonight.